This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atammani al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadih. Wastanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. Wanfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is one very important aspect that we need to focus on. And that is, how do we perceive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts? Where does Allah rank in our hearts? How is your behavior and conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so when we respect certain people in this world, we deal with them and we behave with them in a certain way. Out of veneration, out of respect for them. We have certain etiquette, certain adab with our parents because they are the ones who raised us up. We have certain etiquette, certain adab with our teachers because they are the ones who taught us. And so we have to have a certain set of adab, certain etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is He subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us, who provided for us, who showered His unlimited blessings upon us. And so it doesn't make sense that we behave with certain adab to human beings when they deserve it, yes. But we don't have any adab when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Islam can be divided into four. Into beliefs, into worship, into dealings and transactions, and the fourth, al-adab, etiquette, behavior, manners. And so, if a Muslim's beliefs are up to par, and his worship is also up to par, what's left is for him or her to crown themselves with al-adab. And so al-adab, etiquette in Islam, is three categories. The first is al-adab with Allah, and the second is al-adab with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the third is al-adab with the rest of Allah's creation. And so when talking about etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can mention several things. The very first point that we can mention here is that etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost means veneration of Allah and respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing the believers, innamal mu'minuna alladhina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum wa idha tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu zadatuhum imanan wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. Allah says the true believers are only those whose hearts tremble at the remembrance of Allah. When they remember Allah, their hearts tremble. And those whose iman increases when the verses of Allah are recited to them. And those who put their trust in their Lord, Azza wa Jal. And so what this means is that you don't allow your heart to turn to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor do you allow your desires to be in what Allah dislikes. Rather, you avoid it out of veneration and respect for Allah. You avoid fulfilling your desires when they involve what is displeasing to Allah, out of veneration for Allah, out of respect for who Allah is. Not only because Allah has forbade us from certain things, but out of simple adab for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that etiquette with Allah involves is to not disrespect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues. Not to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is basically deficiency for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to attribute to Allah any kind of deficiency, whether it be weakness, ignorance, or that Allah acts randomly without any purpose. These are all attributes that involve some kind of deficiency. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yaquluna 'uluwan kabira. May Allah be glorified and exalted. He is glorified, He is exalted above what they say. Above what the kuffar say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the etiquette of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In how he would attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is befitting for Allah. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? He said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I am ill, it is He, Allah, who cures me. Notice how he attributed the illness to himself. He said, when I fall ill. But as for the cure, he attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined and allowed for him to fall ill and for us to fall ill. But out of etiquette, we do not attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't say, Allah is the one who caused me to fall ill. Allah is the one who harmed me. We don't say that. And we're going to talk more about that later on. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at his adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find the same thing Allah tells us about the righteous among the jinn. In Surah Al-Jinn, among the things that they said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدِرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, the jinn among the things that they said. And we do not know whether evil is intended for those on earth. This is concerning a certain change that had occurred in the heavens. When previously they used to eavesdrop in the heavens, listening to what the angels are, you know, bringing down of the commands of Allah and the decree of Allah. So they used to eavesdrop, and they would take this information to fortune tellers and pass on information concerning the future. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, they were no longer able to do that. And so shooting stars would hit them if they tried to do that. So the jinn realized that, you know, something has happened here. So they said, among the things that they said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. They said, we don't know if evil is intended for those on earth, or if their Lord intends for them a right path. Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he says, the jinn, they stated this in such a manner out of their etiquette in phrasing their speech, because they did not attribute the doing of evil to anyone. They said, إِنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَّرٌ أُرِيدَ. We don't know. Has evil been intended for those on earth? Notice, they did not say, has Allah intended evil for the people on earth? No. They said, we don't know. Has evil been intended for those on earth? Ibn Kathir, he says, but they attributed the good to Allah. أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Or has Allah, their Lord, intended good for them? So when it came to evil, they did not attribute it to anyone. But when it came to good, they attributed it to Allah. Ibn Kathir says, the Prophet ﷺ said in his dua, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And evil is not attributed to you. And so from our adab with Allah is that we only attribute to Him what is good and what is perfect. And we do not attribute to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala any kind of deficiency. We need to be careful about what our tongues speak concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing that our etiquette with Allah involves is to believe in Allah, to have certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accept and to submit to everything that Allah has sent us, either in the Quran or through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From our adab with Allah is to believe in everything that has come to us from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. To not reject anything of that. To not object to anything of that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing the believers, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The only response of the true believers, when they are called to Allah and His Messenger so that they could judge between them, their only call is, their only response is, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. And so, from our adab with Allah is to accept it, submit to it wholeheartedly, not finding in our hearts any kind of objection to what we have heard from Allah and His Messenger. This is from our adab with Allah. The fourth point concerning our adab with Allah is to respect everything that is attributed to Allah. To respect and venerate anything that is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the messengers of Allah. They are Allah's messengers. Allah says, وَرُسُولِهِ. And Allah says concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. Likewise, the books of Allah, we refer to them as وَكُتُبِهِ. They are the books of Allah. They are attributed to Allah. Likewise, Baytullah, the house of Allah. It is attributed to Allah, the Kaaba in Mecca. And so, these are the things that are attributed to Allah. We need to have respect for them. We need to have veneration for them. Likewise, venerating the sha'air of Allah. What are the sha'air of Allah? The symbols of Allah. The symbols of this deen. There are certain things which are considered symbols of our deen. Like the rituals in Hajj. Allah refers to them as sha'air of Allah. The symbols of Allah. Likewise, the months. Certain months are sacred. Like this current month of Ramadan. We need to have respect for it. Other months of the year, they are sacred. Allah made them sacred. Likewise, anything else that Allah has made sacred, from, you know, the various aspects of our deen, we're not allowed to disrespect any of that. We're not allowed to make fun of any of that. There are some people, they make fun of certain things which are considered as sha'air of our deen. Symbols of our deen. The beard is a symbol of our deen. The hijab is a symbol of our deen. Salah is a symbol of our deen. Eating halal, this is a symbol of our deen. Halal food. And so on and so forth. When it comes to all of these things, whether they are things attributed to Allah or the sha'air of Allah, the symbols of Allah, we need to have respect for them. And by doing so, we are respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are fulfilling our etiquette, our adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Allah says, and that is so. And whoever honors what Allah has made sacred, it is better for them in the sight of their Lord. And then a few verses later, Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That is so. And whoever honors the symbols of Allah, the sha'air of Allah, then it is certainly out of the taqwa of the heart. It is a sign of your taqwa that you honor the symbols of Allah. It is a sign of your taqwa that you respect what Allah has made sacred. And this is why it was out of this respect that the Salaf, some of them, they would dress up in the best of clothing. They would dress up in the best of clothing. When? Not when going out to meet somebody important, somebody special, no. But rather, from standing up in their salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they would wear their best clothes. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he says, the Salaf used to like bathing in the last 10 nights. Every night they would bathe. Some of them would even put on perfume and wear the best of clothes. Why? Because they're looking for Laylatul Qadr. And when Laylatul Qadr comes, they want to be in the most presentable manner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the angels descend, they want to look good. Because the angels are special. Allah is special. And so they are honoring the sha'air of Allah by doing so. Finally, the last thing that our etiquette, our adab with Allah involves, is to deal with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decrees of Allah, to deal with them with patience and contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something for you. It may be painful. It may be very difficult to cope with it. It's a calamity. It's a crisis in your life. It's a catastrophe. It was from Allah. Out of your etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should you do? You should be patient. And you should be content with what Allah has decreed for you. And you should not be objecting. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There is no musibah, there is no calamity that befalls except by the will of Allah. And then what does Allah say? وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. And whoever believes, whoever truly believes in Allah, then Allah will guide their heart through whatever adversity befalls them. True iman is that when the calamity of Allah befalls, you attribute it to the qadr of Allah, and so you remain patient and content with what Allah has decreed. Satisfying. Alqama, one of the famous salaf, he was asked about this verse, and so he said it refers to someone who has been afflicted with a certain calamity, and he knows that it is from Allah, so he's content, and he submits willfully. And so I want to conclude on this point concerning dealing with the calamities that Allah sends us, and how to have the proper etiquette with Allah concerning that. And so I want to conclude with the following description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of most people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, and this is repeated elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ. Allah says, when we grant our favors, our blessings to people, or to man, he turns away. أَعْرَضَ. He turns away. وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ. He acts arrogantly. acts arrogantly. Meaning that when Allah sends good to you, He bestows His favors upon you, His ni'am, His blessings, you think that I deserve this. Yes. I worked hard for this, to achieve this, and I'm the one who achieved it. أعرضه. He turns away from Allah. He doesn't attribute that blessing to Allah, rather he attributes it to himself. And he acts arrogantly. If he's reminded this is a blessing from Allah, he says no. This is something that I have achieved myself. I did it on my own. And then what does Allah say? وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَأُوسًا. And then when man is touched with evil, he loses all hope. He loses all hope. He falls into depression. You should look at his state. He becomes miserable. And so such people are those who boast about what they have, of the many blessings of Allah. They may be rich, or, you know, they may have been blessed with other kinds of blessings that Allah has given them. Maybe intelligence, maybe strength. And so they are boastful. And they say, this is all because of my own efforts. I deserve it. But now when a calamity befalls them, they become depressed and they tend to put the blame for their suffering on Allah. They tend to put the blame of their suffering on Allah. They ask, "Oh Allah, what did I do to deserve this? Why have you, oh Allah, why have you struck me with this calamity?" But when good happened to them, they said, this was my own doing. I deserved it. But when something bad happened, what did they say? They said, this is the doing of Allah. I don't deserve it. And so the lesson that we learn from this is a lesson of etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only of how we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also how we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how we talk is based on how we think. And so if this is what we are saying about Allah, then it says a lot about our perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we think of Allah with arrogance. And so, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who predestines everything, it is out of respect and out of adab and etiquette with Allah to only attribute to Him the good, as we mentioned earlier, and not the bad. Just like Allah did here in this verse. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say here in Surah Al-Isra? وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. When we bless man with these favors. So Allah attributed the favors to Himself, that He is the one who bestowed man with favors. But when it came to evil, what did Allah say? وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ. Allah did not say, and when Allah touches man with evil, rather Allah says, but when man is touched with evil, when man is touched with evil. And so this is throughout the Quran. And we mentioned two examples already. Earlier on, we mentioned the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he attributed to Allah the cure, but he attributed to himself the illness. And the jinn, the righteous among the jinn, who attributed to Allah good, but not bad. This is a theme that we find throughout the Quran, where we notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not attribute harm to himself. Ash-shar, evil, Allah does not attribute it to himself. But rather, he only attributes good to himself. Whatever harm he mentions, he either leaves it open, as we mentioned here, when man is touched with evil, or Allah attributes it to ourselves. Why? Because we are the cause of whatever befalls us. That's a reality. Whatever calamity befalls us, we need to investigate. We need to ponder, why has this calamity befallen us? And when we contemplate, when we think over it, we'll find out that the reason is ourselves.